Jose Abreu is off the market. We react to this big news across baseball and how it impacts the Cubs. Plus, with Abreu off the board, who could the Cubs target? And a whole lot more. Join us.
Locked On Cubs, your daily Chicago Cubs podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into Locked On Cubs. Alongside Sam Olber, I'm Matt Cozy. Pleased to be with you for a Tuesday episode, and thanks for making us your first listen every day. Sam and I are lifelong fans, taking our passion into a discussion with you on all things Cubs. And for the last month plus, all things Cubs has meant a lot of offseason, a lot of rumors. But on Monday afternoon, a deal was made. Jose Abreu, first baseman designated hitter, as first reported by the USA Today's Bob Nightingale, agreed to terms with the Houston Astros on a three-year, $60 million deal. Abreu was a big target for the Cubs. That's also been reported multiple times, Sam, and there's a lot of places we could start.
Yeah, my initial reaction, obviously, was intense frustration. But then when I saw the deal, the details of the deal, 3 years at 60, the Cubs were never going to do that. And I understand. Well, Sam, haven't you been saying all offseason that this year has to be one of those years? Yes, they have to be good this year. But the intelligent spending quote stuff is he's talking about this exact type of deal. We're not going to sacrifice. It's not a have to win the World Series this year move. So you're not going to commit yourself to 2 years after this year to a guy in his mid-30s and Jose Abreu at a non-prominent position when, you know, you're interested in center field, you're interested in shortstop, you have guys coming up. It just didn't make sense at 3 years, 60. It makes sense for the Astros. They just won the World Series. They have a hole to fill. And they are in that we need to win right now mode where the Cubs are. We want to be good right now, but we're not going to give Jose Abreu the first big free agent deal you make post Suzuki Stroman after a 73 win season. It's not 3 years, $60 million to a first baseman, you know, that at the end of his deal will be in it, you know, almost 40 years old. It's just not. I wanted him to sign Abreu. I love the fit at 2 years, 40, sign me up and wave a flag around my apartment. But 3 years, 60, I know to a lot of people that's subtle and it's like, oh, what's an extra year? We're supposed to be a big market team. I hear you, but that doesn't make logical sense. And trust me, 2 years from now, you'll be like, wow, thank God we didn't do that 3 year deal. You know what I mean? And for Abreu, it makes a lot of sense. He gets to hit in the warm weather, gets to hit indoors. Right. I always thought that was going to be his decision. I was worried about the cold weather thing. So it's frustrating, right? Because the Cubs did make it public that this was one of their priorities. I never looked at it like that. I thought big time starting pitcher, shortstop, defensive center fielder. I've said that 70,000 times on this show. The Abreu thing was a bonus for me. I wanted it. But I'm not surprised. I don't know about you.
Yeah. You know, ultimately at the end of the day, it likely was a bonus just given those other positions that you mentioned. I did it necessarily expect this news now. I thought it was going to be another slow week, and then just around this time next week, things would really pick up. What didn't surprise me that Abreu is one of the first dominoes. I thought he could be a candidate who would do that. It stinks because he was a nice fit for the Cubs, being right-handed, being an impact bat, being at a position or two positions really that you need. But the price was high. You know, it was steep. And when you talk about the 3 year, $60 million, and you laid it out nicely there, you know, as you look at it, do the Cubs want to pay Abreu what it comes down to? Just like you said, do the Cubs want to pay a 38-year-old Abreu in 2025?
$20 million.
$20 million.
Right.
And so in terms of the money spent and the future money and timeline and maybe some other things, that is mostly a bad contract for the Cubs.
Agreed.
I say mostly because Abreu was that impact bat, though.
Sure.
And the Cubs need offense. And now one of the best offensive options is off the board. And I think adding that gets a little more difficult. However, all the quote-unquote big names are still out there. And so I'm interested to see what happens from here. In terms of the Astros, I don't think they care about the money, obviously. And they're
winning now.
They're going to be one of the favorites in 23 again.
As it should be.
And so them outbidding any team isn't that big of a surprise.
What this does now. So what does this mean for the Cubs outside of the fact they didn't get Abreu? Here's what it means, Matt.
Yeah.
The pressure is now on.
Oof.
Because you didn't get Abreu, you absolutely 1,000% have to get one of the shortstops, and if you have to pay up to do so, you do, especially for Correa, because he's not going to be 35 or 38 in 2 years.
Right.
He'll be 30. You know
nice.
What I mean?
Yeah.
You can't. The pressure is now on. I've gotten a lot of texts, a lot of messages today. Sam,
oh, I'm sure.
Diet soda. Get nervous. Because Mancini or Bell, we'll talk about that later on, teaser alert, is the diet soda to Abreu's regular Coke. However, at 3 years, $60 million, I don't want that regular Coke. It's too tainted.
You're going to leave it at the table.
I'm going to leave it. But you got to get somebody now, Jed. And it's not Dansby Swanson. It's not Michael Conforto. It's not Taiwan Walker. You better get some guys that make me, you, and our thousands, and I said thousands, of listeners want to watch Marquee and a ball game. Because, you know, the Abreu thing, I'm fine with. 3 years, $60 million does not make sense for this current Cubs team. It makes sense for Houston. That's easy to understand. Correa makes sense. Get it done.
It's so imperative to add offense now and add one of those big names. It becomes more of a – could it be more of a priority now? I guess so, because one of the impact names is gone, and now you have the name still available. And – I don't know when that market's going to play out, but one of my biggest questions, especially even seeing some of your tweets in the moment, you know, and this is, I'm going to put it as generally as I can that we can break it down. The Cubs will have to pay someone at some point. So Abreu wasn't it. Great. But you're going to have to do that this winter.
Right.
This is the market to do it. This is the free agent class, player. And you have a lot of options still out there, but you just got to pay. Enough with the dollars and cents. Yeah, let's go get our hot dogs. Let's turn on Marquee. Let's do the Marquee app. It's going to be, you know, $9.99 a month or whatever it is. And give me a Coca-Cola.
Yes.
We're not doing brands. I'm sorry.
No, you're right. And let me just add that to you, and then we could move on to what plan B now becomes at the first base.
Well, spot. I got a lot to say about that.
Not only do the Cubs have to pay someone at some point, Matt,
right,
but Jed and Kenny and Ricketts and Ricketts and whoever else is in the boardroom.
Carter, you know, Hawkins,
yeah,
allegedly.
Carter Hawkins and whoever else getting the, you know, the donuts in the morning, they're doing the conference.
They're going
call.
To Starbucks yeah, across yeah. the street.
And the analytic nerds that say, hey, this guy is worth this and this is we're gonna pay. Hey, you might have to add an extra year and an extra $3-4 million in AAV to get your guy. I'm fine that you didn't do it with Abreu. My guess for the Cubs is it was 2 years, 40 for Abreu. Anything more, we're out. Fine. But you know what? Let's say you're saying, hey, you know what? The most we're doing is 5 years, 190 for Correa. You may have to do six for 220. You may have to come out of your comfort financial zone. You're the Chicago Cubs. Be prepared to do so. The free agent market is not cater to you and your analytical geeky needs of, hey, this is the contract that makes the most sense, so this is what we're going to do. You may have to come a little out of your box and do a little bit. I know the Jason Hayward contract is the biggest disaster in the history of the program, but that doesn't mean you don't you shy away now.
You can't be scared now.
Yeah, don't be, hey, listen, Correa ended up signing with Boston at 7 years, 240, and we were six for 210, and that was our cutoff. Don't do that.
No, and in fact, some of the numbers that were just thrown out over the weekend, you have to do those deals. I'm seeing numbers in the 220s, 230s. Hello? Come on out of the house.
Yeah, no.
Okay, put a jacket on, put gloves on. It's cold. Okay, maybe pack a broom, pack a shovel in the back seat, but you have to get this deal done now.
There will be no brooms on this program if we don't start getting active.
Exactly.
No, but
right?
in all seriousness, I mean, like everyone, like if we know that Jose Abreu is 2 for 40, the rest of the league knows that. So, like, there's going to be bidding wars. You're not going to get the perfect guy and the perfect contract. So identify a guy, i.e. Correa, and get it done. Get it done.
And there's a lot of teams that are in on him. I get it. That's part of the game.
Yeah, if they're, you don't want a guy that nobody else wants.
That would be strange, yes.
And go get Bellinger and fix center field. He'll want to come here. That's an easy 1 year, 9, 10, 11, 12, whatever it is, million-dollar deal. And then go sign a starter that has a swing-and-miss pitch at a similar deal that you made for Stroman, and then we'll call it even, and I'll see you March 30th.
That's fantastic. Well, there might be
not
some
asking for a lot.
True. I think it's very fair. There might be some other additions at first base or DH perhaps, and we're going to get into some of those possibilities coming up next. Today's episode is brought to you by BetOnline. BetOnline.net is your number one source for sports betting info, stats, news, and analysis. Get the latest odds and trends for every professional amateur league out there, from baseball to football to basketball to soccer and even esports, BetOnline has it all at betonline.net. In fact, recently Sam and I did an episode on the betting favorite, the lines on Carlos Correa, and the Cubs are the betting favorite, folks. You can keep up with all those futures and more over there. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more. Bet online, where the game starts. We're not exactly sure who's going to start at first base for the Cubs on March 30th, 2023. Matt Mervis is firmly in the mix, and because of his handedness, being a lefty, a right-handed first baseman / DH is mainly what we've talked about so far. And so as we move on here in the program today, thank you to everybody whenever and wherever you may be listening. Shout out to all the first-time listeners and the longtime people as well. What are the options now beyond Abreu if you did want to bring someone in as a bonus? Because you have some internal options. Now with Abreu off the board, no one really moves the needle. Can I just eliminate one player right now? Okay, respectfully. But if the Cubs, and this is a guarantee, okay? So, Sam, you're going to be maybe doing some homework tonight just in case. Mm-hmm. I will personally guarantee that if the Cubs sign Josh Bell, I will not be hosting the show that day they sign him. Okay, there's no reason for the Cubs to sign him. Okay, he has a power tool. Great, he's a switch hitter. Okay, it would be terrible.
Elaborate, just so
unless it's like super cheap somehow.
Well, elaborate because people will criticize. I don't want people to.
Josh Bell has power, but he swings and misses a lot. He has minus speed. He's minus defensively.
Ground ball rate's high.
He doesn't elevate the baseball enough. He's aging at a clip that seems a little concerning. Enough with Josh Bell. Okay, that's not an option for the Cubs. Right. If the Cubs sign Josh Bell, unless it's like, again, super cheap, like unbelievably cheap, I will be very concerned. I will want to go check in on the people over there because that would be very befuddling. And quite frankly, there's, dare I say, better alternatives, even with Abreu off the board.
So obviously Mancini is an alternative. The goal here. Yeah,
I like him.
So the goal here is we want Mervis to capture this everyday job and hit left-handers too.
That'd be
the
great.
Reason why Abreu was so tantalizing is you could stick him in the lineup every day at DH. I don't think I want Josh Bell in my everyday lineup. I don't think I want Trey Mancini in my everyday lineup. Let me throw a little Sam idea at you.
Yes.
As my hair looks like I'm a Kennedy. It's so beautiful. What about this? What about the Cubs pivot? They say, hey, we wanted Abreu, we didn't get him. Now we go after a third baseman that we like, say a Justin Turner. And then Patrick Wisdom becomes that righty platoon at first base. Whereas if Mervis struggles versus lefties, you play Wisdom a lot versus lefties at first base. That's an option. There's still other ways to be flexible. Just all I'm saying is I don't feel as strongly as you do about Bell. I agree. I don't want him. It's not going to ruin my day like Argentina losing to Poland would. But I like, you know, Mancini side. You're not breaking the bank for these guys. Don't if signing a backup righty first baseman means we can't have X, Y, or Z, just don't do it. Fill it internally. Fill it with Wisdom, okay? Right. Abreu was so nice because he, like you said, added that bat where even if Mervis is playing every day, you're still putting in Abreu every day at DH or penciling him in. I mean, go back and rebring in Franmil Reyes if you want. I don't care. But don't break the bank because I don't think Josh Bell or Mancini is a good enough offensive player. I know Josh Bell had a great first half, but I don't like where his peripherals went. Mm-hmm. I don't want those guys being the everyday DH on this team. So in that case, if they sign one of those guys, great. If not, it's give Mervis a chance and figure out a different hole to fill with, you know, because let's just say this. If 2 years, $40 million was your budget for Abreu, you can go and get a hell of a third baseman at 2 years, $40 million. You can.
Yeah, definitely.
You can. So what I'm saying, just take those resources that you were going to give to Abreu, reallocate them smartly. Don't do the White Sox and what Jerry Reinsdorf would do and say, hey, 2 years, 40 for Abreu. We don't have to do that. Let's do Bell for 2 years, 20. Okay. I just saved $20 million.
Yeah, yeah.
No. Take that 2 years, 40 and make the baseball team better.
Yeah. No. Don't whiteboard the dollars and cents up there because, yeah, that's a great point.
Of course it is.
You don't need to spend those dollars at that position necessarily. So it doesn't have to be Trey Mancini for X amount. It doesn't have to be.
It's not a life.
Because
for
you might have internal options, including PJ Higgins, by the way.
Yeah, it's not. You're right. It's not a like for like. And I just want to close out by saying because
I got other names, by the way.
Kind of a bonus show, kind of not. I want to close this out by saying this. The way you feel about Josh Bell is how I feel if we only acquire a pitch-to-contact pitcher.
Yeah, you feel strongly about that.
If the only pitcher we sign is some 180 innings, 130 strikeout guy with a 4.5 ERA, and that's the only acquisition we make, you can find a new partner.
Wow. Well, I hope it doesn't happen then. Other free agent options that are the right-handed hitting variety – Michael Chavis, Will
okay, let's
Myers.
Go, wait, hang on. Go slower, please. Go slower. Let's go one by one here. Okay.
Oh, okay.
Will Myers is interesting. Michael Chavis is interesting. I think both those guys are more interesting than Bell or Mancini. Carry on.
Okay. Well, that's interesting.
Myers is off that big contract now. He's done.
Yes,
that was his last year.
He's done. He got bought out as well.
Okay. Yeah. Well, then that's a target right there that makes sense.
Will Myers.
Sure.
Yeah. I think it'd be great.
Well, not great. I'm great. I mean,
well, great given the circumstances.
Yeah, It'd be fine. It'd be like a Sierra Mist.
Sorry, I went kind of Jimmy Fallon there on you.
Yeah.
And
great analogy.
You don't want Miguel Sano, right?
No.
Okay. And then Luke Voit. You know, he's had some glimpses.
Yeah, maybe at
but
like
Myers is better.
Maybe nobody you mentioned there should be getting more than $4 or $5 million for a year.
I would
They're
think
all
so.
Proving, especially Sano.
maybe like
Didn't
a
he
league,
play most
league
of
minimum.
His, I think he was in the minor leagues for most of the year last year. He I drafted him on my fantasy team a month in. He wasn't playing.
He may have been. Also, some trade options that we'll maybe start digging into. But when in doubt, look at the teams that are lower in the standings who have controllable pieces that would want to trade that first baseman or DH for prospects. I suppose that's possible if it's the A's, the Rays, the Marlins, somebody like that. And then, of course, you have this free agent as well, which Fangraphs projects at 2 years, $18 million.
Give me a hint.
West Coast.
A first baseman?
Trade. Versatile.
Oh. A trade or a free agent?
A free agent, but he was traded this past summer.
West Coast. 2 years, $18 million.
You don't think of him as a first baseman necessarily, but he's played there before.
Not Christian Vasquez. He's a catcher.
No.
Okay, go ahead.
Brandon Drury.
Oh.
2 years, $18 million, according to Fangraphs.
Now he hits the daylights out of left-handed pitching.
Yeah, he was phenomenal in 22. The only thing with Drury is he played 21 games at first in 2022 and has played just 48 games in his entire career there.
You know, if you're a big leaguer and you can't figure out how to play first once a week at a competent level, you might need to find a new occupation.
Right, because maybe he could DH as well, obviously.
No, but Drury, if he
or could he could play third, too, and second.
No, and Drury could hit lefty. At least last year, I remember against the Dodgers, he hits left-handers, that guy.
He does, yeah.
And that's what they need if we're talking about this, you know, this Mervis platoon. But by the way, maybe the Cubs don't get another first baseman and Mervis turns into Mark Grace. Who knows?
It'd be great.
Yeah, you know, who knows? Listen, here's the point of the show, and then I'm out of here. I got to get some Z's.
Come on. There's no way you're going to bed before 9. Keep going.
3 years, $60 million. For Abreu wasn't the move. So don't be upset they didn't get him. But if you're starting to sit a little bit more on the edge of your chair, I'm right there with you. We need something to happen, and we need something to happen that makes sense. You know, but it's early. I'm very anxious. I got a lot of sports stuff going on right now.
We'll be back later this week with a brand new episode, unless news breaks between now and then. Be sure to hit that subscribe button for Locked On Cubs on YouTube and smash the like button on all your favorite Locked On Cubs content, Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast on the audio side. We also have a text and voice number, 312-834-4634. Thanks for making us your first listen every day. Now make your second. The Locked On Sports Today podcast, Locked On Sports Today, is our 22-minute recap of the previous night in sports. It features local experts on each of the big stories, as well as the take of the day from one of the Locked On hosts. He's Sam Olber, I'm Matt Cozy, and this is Locked On Cubs.